The reading of our Lord's Passion history, recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter, beginning at the 42nd verse. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he had found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. Here ends our scripture reading. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, the final honor accorded an important person is a rich burial. The pharaohs of ancient Egypt built the pyramids for their tombs and lined them with gold, most of which was later plundered by grave robbers. The Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. stand as American landmarks. A towering tombstone or a granite mausoleum is a lasting tribute to honor the one whose name is inscribed there. In 2018, American evangelist Reverend Billy Graham was granted a rich burial. His body was placed in the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. for several days for Americans to pay their respects. He was the first religious leader to lie in honor at the Capitol. Jesus died in the company of wicked men, crucified between two robbers. But according to God's plan, at his death, he received the honor of burial by a rich man. Joseph of Arimathea gave Christ a tomb that was suitable for a righteous, noble, and wealthy man, a rich burial. And through faith in Christ, we too receive a rich burial. In baptism, we are buried with the lavish riches of God's grace in Christ, which promise resurrection and the priceless inheritance of eternal life. The circumstances of Jesus' death and burial on Good Friday are not haphazard accidents of history. Rather, everything took place according to God's plan. 700 years before the events happened, God had foretold through the prophet Isaiah that the Messiah would be assigned his grave with wicked men, but with a rich man in his death. The first part of God's plan made use of the schemes of Jesus' enemies. They plotted to kill the one who claimed to be the king of the Jews, even though he said his kingdom is not of this world. They bribed Judas to betray him. Jesus was arrested and led through a series of sham trials before Jewish leaders and the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, who unjustly condemned Jesus to what was known in the ancient world as the most vile death of the cross. Instead of freeing Jesus, Pilate freed Barabbas, who had committed murder during an uprising. On Christ's right hand and left, the Romans crucified two evildoers. Thus, Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. The sinless Son of God pined away beside the malefactors, although he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Such was the shameful death planned for Jesus by his enemies. In this way, the first part of Isaiah's prophecy concerning Jesus' burial was fulfilled. God assigned his grave with wicked men. Jesus' death in the company of sinners topped off an earthly ministry to and among sinners. Christ came to be known as the friend of sinners because he associated with tax collectors and prostitutes, the poor and the lowly, those who were despised and scorned. Now also at his death, Christ identifies with sinners, executed as a criminal in the company of wicked men. His sole possession, a robe, was gambled for by soldiers. Forsaken, stripped of all dignity, and bereft of any possession, he died in utter poverty. This was part of God's plan to bring us salvation. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus' death in the place of sinners purchased the forgiveness of sins for all humanity. Isaiah put it this way: he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By grace alone, through faith in Christ, buried with him in baptism, God takes away our sin and clothes us in the perfect robe of Christ's righteousness. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. He who died in abject poverty gives us a share in the victor's spoils, the riches of eternal life after death. In ancient Israel, as today, it was an honor to be buried next to your relatives. A man buried in the family plot was said to rest with his fathers. It was a dishonor to be consigned namelessly to a public cemetery. To be denied any burial was an abomination and God's curse. According to the Old Testament law, even the most accursed criminals who were impaled, an early form of crucifixion, were to be buried, lest the corpse defile the land. But the pagan Gentile Romans, who lacked God's Old Testament law, often left crucified victims on the cross to be attacked by birds of prey and other scavengers, to suffer the most horrific humiliation even after death. Christ's enemies may have envisioned this dishonor for him. But God the Father would not permit such disgrace to mock his Son after his death. As Jesus prayed, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and breathed his last, he completed the redemption of all humanity for all time. Jesus' state of humiliation was over. Rich glory awaited. God's plan was that after Christ died in the company of wicked men, he was to be with a rich man in his death. Joseph of Arimathea was a good and just man, a council member who had become a disciple of Jesus Christ. He took that bold step of faith. God moved him to ask Pontius Pilate for the body of Jesus. Joseph wished to give Christ his last honors. It took a brave man to request the body of a condemned criminal, for by doing so, he pledged his allegiance to the one who had been executed, and he could be the next. This Joseph was a rich man. His wealth included the ownership of a tomb in a garden near Golgotha. Joseph had gone to the expense of having a tomb hewn out of solid rock, the most secure type of grave, though it could not hold the risen Lord. It was not the tomb of Joseph's ancestors, but a new tomb, for no one else had ever been laid in it. Probably Joseph had prepared it to be his own eventual resting place. But out of love for the Lord, who had taken his place at the cross, Joseph wanted Jesus to take his place in his own costly tomb. Into the virgin tomb was placed the virgin son. Today, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre marks the traditional location of Jesus' burial. In fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, Christ's sepulcher was holy because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. By Christ's rich burial, God testified that his son is the Lamb of God without spot or blemish. In the center panel of the altar painting behind me, Christ's crucifixion is portrayed. Notice that there is a skull under Jesus' cross. In Eastern Orthodox iconography, this placement suggests that Christ was crucified above the tomb of Adam. While that identification of the location of the cross lacks clear biblical support, it does bring out the biblical fact that Christ is the second Adam. The sin of the first Adam caused our first parents to be expelled from the Garden of Eden, but the obedience of the second Adam leads humanity back into the eternal garden paradise through his burial and resurrection in another garden. Christ's resurrection in a garden foreshadows the second Eden, the everlasting garden paradise, which will be inhabited by all believers in glory forever. The ancient pharaohs of Egypt filled their pyramid tombs with gold and every precious commodity, long ago plundered by grave robbers, in the false hope that their wealth could secure for them a blessed afterlife. But no one can rob us of God's priceless riches, which do avail. As Peter writes, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The forgiveness of sins is ours through Christ's crucifixion with wicked men. God deems us baptized believers in Christ to be Christ-like, to have done no wrong, nor to have any deceit in our mouth, because Christ has taken away all our sins. The promise of resurrection is ours through his temporary rest with a rich man in his death. Most of us cannot afford an imposing stone edifice for our grave. Nevertheless, at the cemetery we pray, Almighty God, by the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death, and by his rest in the tomb, you sanctified the graves of your saints, and by his glorious resurrection, you brought life and immortality to light, so that all who die in him abide in peace and hope through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.